Now, I'm really pleased to announce that I'm joined now by Daniel Curran from Finders, International Probate Genealogists. Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Great. And you've actually broken a meeting or come down from Leeds just to be here to talk to the people in Marlow.
I have, yeah. Well, and to meet you, of course, Wisdom.
Thank you.
your reputation precedes you. So it's a good excuse to come down to Marlow. It's a lovely day down here as well, nice and sunny. So it's good to get out of London. And nice to see you all down here.
Great. And now I hope you don't mind me embarrassing you slightly. And of course, you're one of the stars of the hit BBC TV series Air Hunters. Now, that actually has been going for now for 10 years, 10 series, and that's longer than Star Trek, which was obviously a monumental worldwide institution as it's become. And you rub shoulders with people like Nadia Sawala, and who's the other lady? Julie...
The lady that does the
Lisa
voice,
Faulkner.
Lisa Faulkner.
Lisa
yeah.
Faulkner.
Mm.
So, you know, quite a successful show and perhaps, very interesting in how it's actually affected your life. But I have to ask you the key question, key question now. How did you get Hugh Grant to be your son's godfather?
Well, yes, that's a little known fact. My son, Miles, he's a successful model now, Miles Hurley. He uses the surname, his mother's maiden name. And his auntie is the famous Elizabeth Hurley, so hence the connection.
Right.
And Hugh became his godfather, so he's very kindly taken him off to cricket and rugby matches and that sort of thing over the years. But Miles is now forging his own career, doing very well.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's how it all came about.
Okay, so I really am rubbing shoulders with the rich and famous now.
Well, once or twice removed, perhaps.
Okay, that'll do me. Right. So, tell me about Finders then.
Finders, well, I've worked in the industry tracing heirs to estates for 25 years now. And in 97, I started the company literally on my own. Just an opportunity came up, and I had connected with a lot of lawyers over the years, the preceding years in my job. So I knew quite a few people to start with that may be providers of work. And going on from there, established an office, just a small room. And with the use of careful use of credit cards, I expanded the business. And we've now reached where we are today, 18 years later. So it's all going well, and we're recruiting and doing very well.
So it was very much a slow burn then as you developed the business?
Yeah, I guess I was probably more cautious. I was never one to sort of jump in with investors or give away equity in the business. So I liked to have control of it, but not to be too controlling, if you know what I mean. So I was taking advice and listening to people and steering it slowly and carefully in the right direction. And of course, the last couple of years, we're when we moved into Hackney, it was near Old Street Roundabout where we are. It was, they were paying you to move into the area. All the rates were cancelled. And that was only about 10 years ago. And since then, it's the rent and rates have tripled. So we were very fortunate. We bought the office and have now bought the floor space below. So we're kind of in a very strong position in that. We're in a highly sought after area now.
Okay, so you've gone through a real sort of phase over the last 20 years, which sounds like easy to say, but not easy to actually live through, where you've gone through your startup phase, you've gone through gradually building certain, calibre and quantity of sales and volume, and then you've moved to better offices, you're starting to recruit more. That's been a very interesting process. What are some of the key things you'd say to startups?
Well, I think that the main thing is to... obviously be passionate about what you do. It's not something I would recommend you sort of being driven by. Well, for me, it never worked being driven by money. You had to be driven by what you're doing and the fact that you think you're doing a good job at what you're doing. I think money, for me, certainly has never been a motivation. It's a nice cons go well. Mm. So that's the first thing. And also, secondly, just to make sure that you remain true to your ideals, I imagine, I know some people in the music business have written songs and then had them diluted by producers and co-writers and that sort of thing. But the same thing applies in business. If you've got a strong idea, you should go with it, but always listen to advice. That's the thing.
Okay, I like that. Before we get on to some of the work you do, let's have one of your songs. So, I Will Follow by U2. Tell me about this song.
Well, my humble beginnings as a barman in the Hammersmith Palais. One day I was off duty and I went to see a gig, and the gig was Altered Images, supported by a new young band from Ireland. Yeah, supported by a new young band from Ireland called U2.
Right.
And they were amazing, and everyone there, I think, knew that they were stars from the moment we saw them.
You're listening to BizBuzz on Marlow FM 97.5.
I've got Daniel Curran here, who's the Managing Director of Finders, the International Probate Genealogists, and obviously, and someone who's featured very heavily for the last 9 years, in fact, it's 10 years now, is it, Daniel?
Yes, that's it, yeah, it's been series 10, yeah.
On the hit BBC TV series Air Hunters, and I still can't get over the fact that that's been going longer than Star Trek ever went. Daniel, back to talking about the government taking money. Actually, I shouldn't say taking. That's a bit rude of me to say that. But if you don't have a will and you can't find the heirs, then the government, actually, that all of your estate then goes to the government. So we can go back and try and find out stuff, but how long do people have? Are there time limits?
There are time limits. I mean, it's important for people to remember that everyone's next of kin is the Crown, the Queen's estate.
That's a sobering thought.
It's a sobering thought. We're all related to her.
Is actually, yes, the estate. We're all related to her. Wow. Yeah. Come on. I'm liking the show
well,
already.
Indirect. So in order to fully claim the estate, what the Crown do, the Government Legal Department handle the estates on behalf of the Crown, the Bona Vacantia Division, and they receive estates referred to them with no known next of kin. So they will advertise, basically put a notice on the website, and then if no one comes forward or no company like Finders comes forward representing them, then after 12 years, they pay interest for 12 years, and after 30 years, it's fully absorbed by the Crown, so you can't claim it after 30 years unless it's at the Crown's discretion whether you can claim it. So if you're 30 years and a couple of days, they might be kind to you.
Right.
But of course, the key point is really when they first publish those estates, because that's when you're most likely to find living relatives or information about people. Because they may have died only recently, and you can still go and knock on doors.
Sure.
The old-fashioned methods still apply.
Now, I know with company law that quite often you have... Well, not quite often. You have to publish certain things in the London Gazette, and they still do that. What did they do before the internet? Where did they publish these lists of people who had died and were intestate?
Well, I can tell you that. It's my own personal experience of going to King's Cross at midnight...
Right.
For legitimate reasons,
I didn't want to say anything.
to pick up the first copy of the Times every Thursday, which had a list printed in it of all these unclaimed estates. So I'd basically sit in my car and scan through the list, and then go off to the office and start the research till about 2 a.m.
Right.
And then either I or other people would take over with the research at 8 a.m. because it was all manual then. It was all looking at either the actual physical records in books or going through microfiche. So it's a long haul to do those cases.
Okay. And do they still publish in the Times on Thursdays?
No, unfortunately, those days are gone. They sometimes publish a local paper advertisement, but they mainly rely on the website now.
All right. Now, you said that's when the clock starts running. What's the process before you get to that point? When do people say to the government, or when does the government then say, yeah, sorry, mate, this is going on to our Bona Vacantia or website?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the Crown have no interest, the Bona Vacantia Division have no interest at all if there's a rumour of a next of kin. So if you approach them and say, well, we work for many of the councils, the local authorities, where they have a thing called Public Health Act funerals, where the council has to pay for someone's funeral if they don't know who the next of kin are, or the next of kin refuse. Now, the way in which we help them is a good example of that, because they sometimes know of a next of kin, so the Bona Vacantia Division themselves don't want to get involved, or they suspect there's next of kin, so again, the Crown don't want to know. But if they refer it to us, we work on a free of charge basis with them. And if we successfully find next of kin, the rumoured next of kin, then of course we can prove their claim on the estate on their behalf, and that's how we end up being paid on estates. We only get payment on estates over £5,000 in value, so that's how that works.
So effectively what happens is that if somebody dies, and there isn't a next of kin, immediately the council takes control, and that's when information goes to the government, does it?
Yeah, I mean, it's often the council. It could be a hospital, it could be any number of people. It comes through different routes, different ways. Mm. And similarly, that's how people, we learn of cases. They might ring us up and say, as happened only 2 weeks ago, someone rang up and said their neighbour had passed away, and she was of German origin. And the guy said, well, you know, I've been telling the Crown about it. They haven't done anything about it yet. Can you help me find next of kin? And indeed we did in Germany.
You're listening to BizBuzz on Marlow FM 97.5.
You are indeed listening to BizBuzz on Marlow FM, and we've got Daniel Curran, Managing Director of Finders, in the studio. And, of course, I have to keep saying this, star of Air Finders on the BBC. Daniel, we've had some very interesting information from you. And, by the way, if you're listening to this or you're coming in late, feel free to go to Marlow FM and hit the Listen Again button tomorrow, and you can listen to this show again to catch any of the very useful information that Daniel's been giving. Any other interesting stories coming up in the next series?
Yes, there's quite an amazing story of someone... a lady who passed away in England, who was one of the many people evacuated from the Channel Islands during the Second World War and who never saw their family again. This lady was brought up, having been evacuated, brought up in Scotland. And when we contacted her heirs and next of kin, mostly in Guernsey, in the Channel Islands, they had never heard of her. So we had this amazing situation of, even though she was only the auntie to many of them and the sister to one of them, they'd never heard of her. We showed them photographs of her and her family and friends, and it was quite an amazing story. So we have footage of me driving around Guernsey and visiting people on that one as well. So that's a really nice story to look forward to.
Okay, okay. Now, how can people not get into this sort of a situation if they have an estate? What advice would you give to people?
Well, it's twofold, really. If making a will is obviously the important one, if you want to be certain. I'm not inclined to make a will, then obviously that's fine. But it then leads on to the question of your family tree, your next of kin. Many people sort of, when they're starting to look into their own family tree, overlook the obvious first steps. And I've heard many people say that the interest in your family usually comes when you're older anyway, but while you have elderly relatives still alive, speak to them, get all that information down on paper, write it all down. It's an invaluable start to a family tree, and of course when they're gone it's too late. So
yes, it is, yeah.
You have to make the most of that information. And you know, I passed on information about my great-grandfather, who died in the First World War, and never met his own son, my grandfather, wow, who was born the same year as he died. And then my daughter was able to go and visit the grave in Belgium. So you do have these lovely kind of cyclical moments in families that can't be replaced, and it's so important to get that information down.
Okay. And what about advice for people who think that maybe there may be something out there? For example, they want to go to the Bona Vacantia
Vacantia.
What should they do?
Well, if you go to Bona Vacantia Direct, you can try and make a claim on an estate if you recognise the name. There are certain risks in that you might go at a great deal of expense, and you might go to your local solicitor for help. You have to bear in mind, if you do it yourself, you could run up bills, you could buy documents, you could run up a solicitor's bill. A will may be found which disinherits you. Lots of things can happen, or the estate may even end up being insolvent. Bona Vacantia only advertise estates that they value as over £500.
Right.
So they could write back and say, well, congratulations, you may have spent £2,000 or £3,000 getting this claim through, but it's actually only £500 worth of inheritance. So it's better to try and, that's why our service exists, cause it mitigates that risk and covers people against any loss.
Right. And is there any way of finding out, you know, should I bother to go to the expense?
Well, we try and work out the value of an estate. I mean, one of the key things is to work out whether the deceased owned a property, because that's normally people's main asset. So we'll look into that. But it's not always cut and dried, because sometimes you have quite large estates built up by someone who has basically been in hospital all their life.
Yeah.
They've been on benefits that have never been spent.
Yeah.
And they've lived a life of solitude because of disability or in being incapable of dealing with their own affairs.
Okay. And one of the things you mentioned was that it's very important to establish that line, that lineage. And to do that, you need to produce a family tree.
Mm-hmm.
How would people go about doing that in England? And what about if you're like me, you've got overseas relatives?
Well, in England and Wales, most of the records, there's some good websites. There's ancestrywebsite.co.uk and a few others that list the main birth, marriage and death indexes. They're the key life events that will document a family tree. And then you can move on to probate and wills for more information. But a lot of it's online. You have to bear in mind there's a lot of transcription errors.
Right.
Much of our work these days is trying to work out what it should have been when it's been spelt incorrectly.
Right.
When referring to surnames or forenames. Foreign leads can end up being more expensive to follow up because outside the UK, many records are held locally and they're not all online by many long means. You know, you could be in for quite a slog to do that. But that having been said, as I say, talk to the elderly members of the family, discuss as much as you can, get as much down on paper. And then when you're starting to research, just take it one step at a time. Start with your own parents. And at that point, you have to make a decision. Do I look into my father's family or mother's family?
Right.
And then pursue that line and take it from there.
Okay. So, in summary, what tips would you give to people on either side of that line of the will?
As I say, talk to the relatives, first of all. Get as much information down from personal memories, personal recollection. If you're going online to one of the main research websites, Ancestry or one of those, you should look for your own birth certificate, look at your parents' names, and then normally the next step is to find your parents' marriage certificate. That will document their father's names mm-hmm. on that certificate, and then you start to build up a picture of who's related to who. The sequence of birth, marriage and death is obviously an important one to remember throughout the whole of your research, and you look for those key events as you go along.
And do you need to have copies of marriage certificates or photocopies of marriage certificates and death certificates and birth certificates as part of the evidence you present?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, it's very important because a census, for example, taken every 10 years from, I think, 1851. So you have the 1911 census online, which will list a whole family, but it'll only give a description. So it'll say the head of the household, whoever that is, the male head or a widow or whoever's the head of the house. Then all the other occupants of the house are described as in their relationship to the head. So it could just say son and daughter, but that's not proof that they're their son and daughter. That okay. just is what they've told the census numerator when they turned up on that day.
Okay. So in summary, if you're listening out there, well, of course you're listening out there, who would not be? Get going, go to genealogy.com, is that right?
Ancestry.com.
Excuse
that's the main
me.
Starting point.
Go to the Bonaventia website and get the CSV or the Excel spreadsheet of mm-hmm. the list of estates and start talking to your relatives.
Yes, exactly.
And of course, as soon as in a few minutes' time, we'll have Stephen Yore who'll give you advice on how to make that will as secure and reliable and usable for your ancestors, mm-hmm. predecessors. Which one is it?
For your benefactors.
Benefactors as possible. Thank you for correcting me there. Daniel, how can people get a hold of you if they need more help or they want to use your services?
Find us international. We're at Vestry Street in London, N1. The website is findusinternational.co.uk. And we're on the phone 0207-490-4935. And we're there 7 days a week. There's always someone there to answer the phone.
Okay, do you want to give us the website and the telephone one more time?
The website is findusinternational.co.uk. And the phone number is 0207-490-4935.
Daniel, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I'm so glad to meet someone else who takes money and gives it back to people. I love that story. So we're going to close now. Thank you for joining us on the show, Daniel.